know, I heard it's hot over there right now. They said they're having record heat over there. They've had a lot of death in certain areas because of the heat over there. And my pastor's been to India twice, and the Lord does some great work over there. God's still working in different areas of the world. People in America might not always want. There's people in this world that still hunger after the things of God. Thought about as we went to Peru, when we'd lead somebody to the Lord, they're caught up in that death of religion of Catholicism, just bound by that mess. And but when they see the truth and see what God, how He sets them free, what the gospel will do. But it's an honor to have Brother Jones with us, and he's going to come tell a little bit about the work. He's going to preach for us also tonight. So you come on, brother, and just give your ear to him this evening. Let the Lord speak to your heart, brother. This cup of water is yours if you'd like it.
Well, amen. It is a joy to be here. I'm just thankful. My, what a pretty auditorium here. The church is just really nice. I'm telling you, this would be a dream in India. Air conditioning would be a dream in India. I'm telling you, in the hot summertime, it's 110, 120 degrees. And that is just too hot with no AC. Now, they do have motels there that has AC, but some of them work, some of them don't. And you just don't know. And the power's on part of the day and the power's off, so you never know. But you know, it is hot. And most of the people that die are your older people that live in thatch huts, mud floors, and just don't have any circulation whatsoever. A lot of villages don't have electricity. That's why we feel the need of purchasing generators to help in the churches to have a when the power's off, they have a generator to run. If the power's if they don't have power at all in those villages, then they have a generator to where they can have lights and maybe have a little PA system to help them. But you know, our ministry is twofold. It's planting churches. That's what God's laid on my heart. We're in our 18th year in India. We go in and out of the country, and we have seen, to God be the glory, over 20 churches planted in the villages of India. And we've had a part in a Bible Institute starting, had 57 students this year, and we have two small orphanages. But my burden is two things. My burden is planting churches and then assisting the national pastor. You know, a national pastor can speak the dialects. There's 265 spoken dialects in India. So where do you start? You know, and then not only do they speak the dialects, but they live in those conditions. They're used to it. And they don't ask for, you know, of course, if they have needs and for the ministry, they're asked. They do ask if we can help them from time to time. But I keep going back in my mind, putting myself in their shoes, how I would appreciate somebody in America, rich America, to them. And we are. And yet, I would cry out, come and help us. Come and help us. And that's what Heritage India Ministry is all about. I was in a ministry back in 1996. I surrendered until 2003, and the Lord led me to leave that particular ministry in India and start Heritage India Ministry. And since then, God has just opened doors and blessed in a mighty, mighty way. And we just thank the Lord. And I just got back in February, and we had 230 or 250 people saved. And I was there in July and August of last year. I had over 100 people saved. And so we just thank the Lord for what He's doing. Somebody said, Brother Ron, you know, you go up there and preach, and a lot of people say, how many of you think got in? I tell them, all of them that did. All of them that did. That's up to the Lord. We just preach the word, sow the seed, and God gives the increase. And some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. I know years ago I had five directors in India, and each one of these directors had anywhere from 3 to 10 different villages, and they had pastors that they were training in every one of the villages. And everybody had needs, and they would say, Brother Ron, I need this and pray. I need this and pray and I need this. And I told them, I said, fellas, you live right and you do right and you pray, and God will give you what you need. If you look to Him, don't look to America, don't look to Brother Ron. And when we raise money to build a church building, for $10,000, we build a church building in India that has their seat 150, 200 people. And then it has a two-room apartment on the side for the pastor and his wife to move out of a hut and have a dry place to live when the monsoon season comes, when it rains all the time during those months. And they have electricity and they have bathrooms. Now, they're outhouses to what we would say over here. But you have a men's outhouse and a ladies' outhouse and have a middle room that has a 5 gallon a bucket of water. And that's the way their lifestyle. That's the way it is. They don't have running water in the villages like that. They don't have bathrooms like we have. It's 2 footprints in a hole. You see, it's a shock. Some people from America come over and they can't believe it, but that's the way the lifestyle is. And so, you know, we don't try to Americanize them. We just preach the gospel to them. You know, some missionaries go to the field and they try to make them like them, and I don't want nobody to be like me. I want them to be like Him. And that's what Heritage Indian Ministry is all about. It's H-I-M. Him. That's what it's all about. And so through these years, we've seen many, many people come to Christ. And I ask you to pray. We need help. You say, after 18 years? Oh, yeah. Missionary support goes up and down. You know, it's... And, you know, for years, I'll call churches and pastors say, Brother Ron, man, we just can't afford to support another missionary. And I understand where he's coming from. You've got to have a guideline. I understand that. But yet, say the money's just not coming in. People, you know, it's not the money's not coming in. It's the people not giving. Now, let me tell you why. Most any night now, but Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you go by Walmart and it's packed full. People spending money. It's just they choose where to spend it. That's the key. And when you fall in love with Jesus, your billfold is not going to be a problem. When you fall in love with Him. I say, Lord, how much are you going to give through me, not to me, for missions? Now, tithes and offerings automatic. I mean, that's just the way it is. And somebody said, well, Brother Ron, how much is a tithe? Somebody tell me, what's a tithe? 10%. Well, my goodness. If you eat at a halfway decent restaurant, you get more than that on a tip. Gratuity is 18% in a lot of places. I know one man, he was a comedian, he said, my goodness, I ain't getting 18%. I only give Jesus 10. Of course, he's being funny, but that's the truth a lot of times. But the thing is, now, do you do faith promise here or general budget? Faith promise? But the joy is I found churches that do faith promise give so much more for missions because it's by faith. Right. It's not what we can do, but what He can do for us, through us. And that's what it's all about. Amen. And so I'm here tonight to tell you that India has needs. One of the things I'm praying right now, a major project, of course, is we started building we built a church a few years back, but we're Calvary Baptist Church, and so in India. And so now we're building a little apartment for the pastor and his wife. And it's a two-room little block house connected in the back of the church. And then we're going to build bathrooms there to where he and his family can have a restroom, and then the church can use the facility as well. And that's such a blessing. And so for $2,500, we could do all that. We could finish the church building and put the bathrooms in. And he came to me a year and a half ago, and he said, Brother Ron, he said, pray. He said, help me tell the churches in America, we need help. We need a house. The church gave money to build a church in America. They helped, and they did so much. He said, but tell the churches, please help. He said, I'm living with my mother-in-law. And I got to get out. Oh, my goodness. You know, they're just like you and I. And they have needs and desires. And I laugh. I say, Brother Locust, I'll pray. And, you know, we have to look to the Lord. He said, I know, but pray. And so, you know, we never know who's going to give. Sometimes people write a check. Churches write a check. You never know. Because God's the one that speaks to the hearts of His children to give. And so we ask you to pray for us. We sure appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and show the presentation at this time. But I want to tell you, India's a country of 1.5 billion people. Less than 3% profess to be Christian. And you shake that down. That includes Catholics, which we know most of them are lost. Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Pentecostals. I mean, they don't even know if they're saved or lost. Today or tomorrow. And the sad thing about it, you shake that down and then there's a small percent that are really born again believers. But I'm glad God always has a remnant somewhere. Amen. And so we just go and I get into it in my message in a few moments. What is missions? And I want to share a couple of illustrations and I pray to be encouragement to the church. But what I want to do tonight is God leads me. I want to challenge this church not only to do more for missions than you ever done before, but I'm going to show you how you can do more, everybody, if you do what we share tonight. I guarantee you. And you can have revival if you do what I share tonight, okay? All right? And my wife and daughter will be here any time. We left our... what do you call it? Display board, I guess that's it. Anyway, we left it at the church this morning. And so we was over at Unity Baptist. And so it wasn't too far. But I knew that if they could, yeah, they come walking in now. If they could get that display, boy, that banner. Because if I wait till after church, then there may be nobody there. And so anyway, it worked out good. So they'll be in here in a few minutes. But I just thank the Lord for what He's doing. One other thing before we show it. My wife and I will be celebrating our 45th year anniversary this October the 16th. The Lord blessed us with 7 children. That's right, 7. And the last one was a miscarriage. That little one's in heaven. And we'll see that little one one day. To God be the glory. My oldest son, Tony, pastors Faith Baptist Church in Walterboro, South Carolina. My other son, Philip, he pastored 8 years for Harmony Baptist in Covington, Georgia. But he just resigned 2 months ago on deputation now, raising support to go to Pasadena, California to plant a church. Boy, that's a big step from Georgia to Pasadena, California. And so you pray for he and his family. My oldest daughter, Ginger, her and her husband on deputation going to Scotland. And then I have a daughter that married a Navy guy that's just got out of the Navy. They live up in Chicago area. And they're wanting to come south, so pray with us. We want them to come south, too. That's too far. And then of course, my other daughter, Kirsten, who's with us, her husband's in the Air Force. He just got deployed to Qatar. And so pray for them. And she said, I'm coming home, Mom and Dad. And so her and her 2 little ones are here. And so we just thank the Lord that God's blessed us. And then my baby girl, she married the assistant pastor with Jimmy Jones over in Durham, South Carolina, at Riverside Baptist, Brother Chase Green. And of course, his dad was Robert Green. And so just a blessing to our heart. And we just thank the Lord for using our kids. I'm saying that to brag on Jesus. Amen. It pays to pray. And the devil's out to attack every one of them. Every one of us. And so I ask you to lift us up and all our family. I appreciate that. All right, preacher, if we can do that.
talk with you today, but the words are hard to find. There's a longing within my heart I can't fully describe, but as you look inside of me, my desire is revealed. For nothing means more to me than to know I'm in your will, the center of your
He's bread to to feed the hungry. Jesus shed his blood. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. But the good news, my friend. Jesus arose from the grave. And he's coming again. That's my God. I serve a risen Savior. And it's in the world today reaching men that are lost.
You look down from heaven to the earth far below, saying, whom shall I send, and which one will go? Isaiah heard your voice and fell to his knees, and he cried, here am I, send me. And I'll go where you send me, I'll follow where you lead me. This world over, don't look any farther. Lord, here am I, send me. I don't have much to offer, so take all I am. For little is much when it's placed in your hand. So if you can look past my small ability, and Lord, here am I.
Ron Jones family, as we continue to carry the gospel to the country of India. It kind of gives you a little glimpse of what it's like over there in India. This young man that had his hands up, we had been praying that the Lord would send his money to finish his apartment there at the church that the Lord gave us money to build. And so we were praying, and that was in December of that year. And when we came home, and about the third week of January, we got a check in the mail from a church and said, we want to give you enough money to finish that church. Amen. That's the way God is. Answers to prayer over and over again. And we just see one miracle after another. One of the things, before I get into the message, one of the things that I mentioned earlier about some needs, of course, monthly support is always helpful, and as well as bathrooms. Now, we take that for granted here. But I had some ladies come to me through an interpreter, they said, Brother Ron, please, please go to America and ask them to help us with some bathrooms. They said, it's very difficult for women to come and sit for 2 or 3 hours in the services and no facilities. And then have to go down a path to a neighbor or somebody that they don't even know and say, can we borrow your bathroom? And that's a little tough. And I said, we'll do it. Well, this last trip, my director reminded me of that. He said, Brother Ron, he said, now, Sister Loretta, they call her Mom. They said, Mom said that she was going to encourage and try to help too. And your daughter, your youngest daughter. And so he said, I'll tell you what. He said, you tell Mom that if she'll help and y'all get some money up to help us toward a bathroom, $750 would build a men, woman, and the washroom in the middle. And said, we'll put a plaque up in honor of Sister Loretta. Boy, that's wonderful, ain't it, brother? Have a bathroom in honor. And I came and I taught my wife and just so you know where we are, my wife had a brain tumor removed a year and a half ago, or just about 2 years ago, and it was the size of a nectarine. And so that came out, and for years she couldn't drive, she couldn't hardly speak for long periods of time. And so, but everything's come back pretty well, but she still has two more. None of them are malignant, thank the Lord for that. And one's on the brain stem, one's on the right side of the brain, and we're praying that God will just let them remain, because if they start growing, then she'll go into seizures and other problems. And so we're asking the Lord just take care of that for her. We sure appreciate it. But she don't have energy. A lot of times we're in meetings, and she goes with me maybe in the morning service, and then she has to stay at the motel in the Sunday evening or prophet chamber or whatever. But I'm just grateful she's with me. Amen? And that's what's important. But she was talking to her sister about the bathrooms, and they were laughing, and her daddy used to call her Lolly. And so she said, you tell Brother Christopher that we don't want Sister Loretta. We want them to put a plaque up for every bathroom and call it Lolly's Potty. I said, I'll do it, honey. Wow, to be honored. Isn't that wonderful? But, you know, it's a lot of fun, but you know, that is a need, and so I ask you to pray. I ask you to pray. You know, to be honest, somebody could write a check for $750, and we can buy a bathroom, pay for it. No. I mean, it could be done. Bicycles, $110. Generators, about $800. Motorcycles, $750. Church buildings, $10,000. You know, to see $150. Now, it's not like this. It's just cement block. And they still use asbestos roof or CCC roofs, concrete roofs. But it does get mighty hot. But they're thrilled to be able to have a place to worship God. Amen. And not be under a tent as you saw some of those huts. Amen? Well, I said all that to say that we serve a great God. And I want you to turn tonight for the next few moments. I want you to turn. And as you're doing it, the pastor allowed me to put some things out on the front table. They do have our display board up now, our banner, and we have some items there for you to look at. That's the elephants and all that's part of the display. Well, that's not for sale. But the other items, ties and hats, we do make that available, 1 for $10, 3 for $25. And it helps our ministry as well. And so anybody's interested, they make good gifts. And so you check with us after the meeting. And ladies, we do, my wife, I have a bag of some jewelry. And it's only $5 a bag, necklaces and so on. And I promise you, it won't turn your arm green in 3 days. 5 maybe, but not 3. But no, it's good stuff. And so you might want to be looking at some of that. But it all helps. Amen. But let's turn tonight to 2 Kings chapter number 4. I know you got a meeting, and so I'll try not to hold you very long tonight. You've heard that over and over again from a preacher, haven't you? But I mean it. I'll try not to. But try to be considerate. In 2 Kings chapter number 4, won't you stand as we read a little bit and honor God's word? You've been sitting a while. Begin reading with verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that the servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. He's saying, Just get as many as you can. He said, And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and the Bible says she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. He said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Father, would you take what's been read and speak to our hearts tonight? Put the right words in my lips tonight to say exactly what you want me to say. Encourage us, challenge us, and help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Wonderful passage of scripture here. And I see these young fellas up here on the front second pew. I like to get down here in spitting range. Is that okay? You ladies won't mind that, will you, getting this spitting range? Amen. But we have a wonderful story here of a mother that was faced with a major, major trials in her life. Her husband had died. I don't know what that's like to lose a mate, but I hope I never have to. Hope Jesus comes first. Amen. But the fact is that she was burdened down because her husband had passed away. And evidently, according from what I read, they were a godly couple that loved the Lord. They must have been. Because this woman was full of faith, as far as I can see. And instead of going to some of her friends with her problems, she went to the man of God. Yeah, that's what she did. And the Bible says that, well, matter of fact, they tell us that in Bible days, if the breadwinner dies and there's debt that's owed, that the creditor could come in and take thy children, the sons, and work them until the debt's paid in full. And I wouldn't be surprised, things are no different to then as it is today, that they wasn't taken advantage of, I'm sure. So she was faced not only losing a husband, she was faced of losing two sons. And she cried out to the Lord, and she went to the man of God, and she told him her plea, her situation. And the man of God, he told her exactly what to do. And she didn't argue with him. She didn't fuss with him. She didn't grumble or complain or go talk to the women's society at the church and say, Look, can you believe he said for me to do that? No. She believed he was a man of God, and she believed he could get answers from God, instructions from God. And she trusted him. And you know, church, that's what we've got to come to in our life, is we've got to trust the man of God. I know there's a lot of men in pulpits that make some awful mistakes and fail. David did. But in our day, many great preachers have fallen. But they didn't do it accidentally. It was a choice. Somewhere along the way, they begin to drift away from God. And you know, a man can preach a message because he's got the Word of God. And God honors the Word. And when He honors the Word, God's going to work in the lives of people even though that man may not be right with God. That's how that happens so many times. We wonder, how can God use that man like he did in him living in sin? Well, God honors his word. That's why. And so, church, what I'm saying tonight is, a lot of times the men of God will say things that we really don't understand. Maybe not even agree with. But if we're trusting and trust him to work through him, I guarantee you, you'll be blessed for doing it. No doubt about it. No doubt. I believe one day we're going to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we're going to give an account unto God for what we do since we've been saved. Yeah. Thank God I don't have to give an account of my sins. They were all taken care of when I came to Calvary. Amen. Oh my, he washed them, cast them as far as the sea and as far as the deepest from the west into the deepest part of the sea. I'm so thankful. My sins are gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Boy, I'm so thankful for that. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what does it all. My friend, tonight, if you're here and you've never repented of your sin, you've never invited Jesus really in your heart with a sincere heart, then you're sitting on pew lost and you're on the road to hell. You must be born again, Jesus said. You must be born again. And so my challenge to you tonight, number one, is if you're not saved, let's make sure that you are. It don't matter if you're a deacon, if you're a trustee, or if you're a Sunday school teacher, a song. It don't matter what position you hold in the church. What good is that if you die and go to hell? What good is it? You must be born again. And I'm so thankful that I was in the Marine Corps, went to Vietnam, come back. Thank God he spared my life. But something was missing. Something was missing inside. I knew the way I was living. I had played professional rock music and the club life and that environment I was involved in. And I knew that the way I was living, I'd die and go to hell. Religious. I was raised in the Methodist church and they taught about Jesus. They used the King James Bible back then. Oh, yeah. And he preached back then. But what a mess it is today. Wow. Women preachers. Can you hear that? How a woman be a husband one way? Huh? Can't do it. But I say all that to say this. You can be religious, but lost. And on the road to hell. You see, in India, they worship the... That mother comes out to that 200-foot statue of a monkey god. That's where the area we are, in the mid-southern part of India. And they have these monkey gods, stone figures. And they bow down to the feet of that monkey god and pray for instruction, guidance, and answers. They need a miracle in their life. And they pray for guidance and protection. Sincere, but wrong. And leave what little bit of rupee they can scrape up at the feet of that monkey god. And that evening, the Hindu priest comes by and gathers up. And yet it's just nothing. Nothing. Unless somebody tells her about Jesus, she'll die in her sin, spend eternity in hell. That's why God's called us to India. You know, I said, what is missions? I was looking over some notes and I was praying, Lord, give me something fresh. And Lord, what is missions? And the Lord, he put some thoughts in my mind and my heart. And I thought, is missions where American missionary goes to the mission field and tries to make them like him? Is that missions? No. I don't want nobody to be like me. No, sir. No, I want to be like him. Amen. That's it. Him. It's missions where a missionary will go to the field and he stays there for year after year after year after year and pastor the church? No. a missionary, he goes to the field to train a national to take over the work, and he goes somewhere else. Because if he stays, then he ought to be a pastor and call home and say, don't send support no more. The church is taking care of me. That's a true missionary. But wait a minute. I'm talking tonight about missions. Is missions supported by you? Or is missions supported by him? You know, preacher, a lot of times churches have problems with the finances. And the problem is that some of the people forgot when they give that tithes and offerings, it don't belong to them anymore. It belongs to him. It's his money and not yours or mine. And missions is, God, what will you give through me, not to me, but through me for missions? And I guarantee you, he'll meet every need. He always does. And he'll bless you abundantly. No doubt. The story was told of a missionary that went to Africa. He was too old to go through a mission board. And they said, we don't allow missionaries at your age to go. And he said, well, God's called me. I'm going. And I don't know how he did, but he did. And he stayed on the mission field for 10 years. Preaching and teaching to a group of people in a tribal area that couldn't even read or write. Took him 10 years to master the language. And he preached. And on that Friday night, he preached. The chief of the village come walking down and kneeling. Tears run down his face. And gave his heart to Jesus. Was it worth it? Sure it was. But all of a sudden, another came and another came and another came and another came. And before he realized it, the whole village had come and given their heart to Christ. Because they understood that it was Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the answer. Boy, jubilation broke out and they were so excited about it. They were thrilled beyond measure. And when they all went back to the huts to go to sleep, they noticed that the oldest lady in the village was missing. She was a mom and a son, a grandmother, the others. Everybody loved her sister. But they couldn't find her. So they went out into the jungle looking into the wee hours of the morning, and they couldn't find her, so they assumed that some wild animal must have killed her. They come back mourning for this dear lady. I mean, they mourn one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Well, Friday evening of that week, the guy that's looking over the village, he noticed a figure coming out of the thick jungle, walking back into the path to bring down to where the chief was. And he realized it was that little lady come walking down. That one they thought was dead was alive. Can you imagine the rejoicing of the people again? And as he sent some young men to escort her up to the chief of the village, and she came and he said, sister, where you been? We thought you was dead. We already been mourning for your death. And she said, I'm so sorry. She said, I know. She said, I know if I'd asked you, you wouldn't let me. So where everybody was rejoicing and the joy that was in my heart, she said, I just had to go. I had to go. He said, where? She said, other side of the mountain. There's a little village over there, and I got some loved ones over there. And I had to go tell them about Jesus. I just had to go tell them about Jesus. Tell them what he did for me. And remember, they couldn't read or write, and so he said, well, tell me something. He said, now I thought I saw a box of Kleenexes. Did I see one here? Over here. There it is. She said, when somebody would come, I'd pick up a straw. And let's pretend this is a straw. She said, I'd pick up a straw and I'd lay it down. And another would come, I'd pick up a straw and I'd lay it down. Another would come. Another would come. Another would come. And another would come. And another would come. And another came. She said, I don't know how many people came. said, but here's my bundle. Here's my bundle. You see, when you knock on doors and you tell somebody about Jesus and they get saved, you're building a bundle. I don't want to stand empty-handed when I stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to have a bundle. When I witness and tell folk, when I preach and people get saved, when I sing and hearts are stirred, when I'm faithful in teaching and faithful in coming to church and doing what God's commanded me to do, when I give my tithes and offerings and missions, I'm building a bundle. That's what it's all about. God's got a record book and He's keeping it. Everything since we've been saved, He's recording. That's for sure. And my friend, listen, the motive for what you do, we're going to have to give an account to God. But I'm building, but don't you want a bundle tonight, church? Don't you want a bundle? And I said all that to challenge your heart tonight because you can't outgive God. Just can't do it. But the story, I'm not going to close in just a minute. But the story is told of this woman went to the man of God and he said, well, tell me something. What's in thine house? She told her need and she said, the handmaid, all she's got is a little vessel of oil. That's it. It wasn't even a full vessel. He said, well, you take that vessel of oil and you get your sons to gather as many vessels as they can. Small vessels, bigger vessels, it didn't matter. And you shut the door and you take that little vessel of oil and you pour out. Wow. Wow. So they did, and the boy brought a little vessel, and let's pretend this is a vessel of a pot of oil. And so she poured the oil into this vessel filled up. That's pretty good, isn't it? Pretty good. Son, bring me another way. He brought her another one. And she poured out until it fell up to the brim. Wow. My, that's good. Sometimes people begin to doubt, and so he brought her a little vessel, and he said, surely there's no more in there. And she poured out, and it filled it up to the brim. Everyone. Wow. Can you believe that? Mama, I can't believe it. And she was probably like you and I. She probably had to shake it to see if there's any more oil left. But it was. It was. So I bring her another, and so he brought her another. Wow. And she poured the oil into it, filled up. Another one. Bring me another, son. Wow, Mom, this is great. I just can't believe this. If I wouldn't believe it, I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. And she poured out. Whew, filled it up to the brim. Amen. That's my God. That's my God. What a good God we serve. Amen. And she probably did like you and I would have done. Shook it one more time. And you know what? It was just as much in it at the end as it was in the beginning. Because the Bible says the oil stayed. The oil stayed. Well, they took all those vessels and they sold it and got money. And the man of God said, you take it, pay the debt, and live on the rest. Boy, isn't that like our God? Just give us so much more. So much more. And they lived. And I'm sure on Wednesday night, they got up and said, I just want to thank the Lord for what He did. I think they were probably walking and leaping and praising God. Oh my. We serve a miracle-working God. You know, the problem we have in our day is we don't believe He'll do the miracle for me. They'll do it for the pastor and somebody else like that. But for me. But He will. If we're trusting. He will. Now I want to close with this silly illustration. And I've been around the pastor's wife just long enough to know that she wouldn't do this, but he probably would. He said, "Church, tonight after service, we're going over to the fellowship hall and we're going to have spaghetti supper." Yeah. Woohoo! Meatballs and spaghetti and good old sweet iced tea. I'm from Georgia, so you know. Yeah, amen. And so we get excited, we go over there, and we sit down at the table. All the plates are on the table, the forks and napkins and everything, and the glass. And we look, and every plate is greasy with stuck spaghetti to it. Yeah. The fork is sticky. The glasses are greasy, and some of them are half water and look like a little bit of tea in it. It melted. The ice had melted. And the preacher comes in and says, "Look, folks, we had a youth group over last night, and we just had ourselves a time. We had spaghetti. I told my wife, we're just too tired to clean up. We'll just add a little more to the pot tomorrow and let our church come. They can eat off the same utensils and plates and drink. And then what we'll do is we'll clean it up after that." Am I right, sister? You wouldn't do that, would you? Woohoo! Let me ask you a question. Would you like to eat off those plates? Huh? Somebody tell me. Why? Why not? Nasty? Dirty. You wouldn't eat off of a dirty plate? Drink out of a dirty glass? Surely not. And rightly so. But the truth of the matter is, we'll come off to the house of God on Sunday morning, Sunday night or Wednesday night, and we'll sing "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Oh, how I love Jesus, amazing grace. And we just sing up a storm, and yet we want God to use us to sing a solo, and we know down deep inside our vessel is filthy before a holy God. Unconfessed sin. Off with our brother. You might even be upset at the pastor or his wife or the music director. "Why, he don't ask me to sing like he does her." Huh? Now, I'm being silly, but you know, church, that's the truth in so many of our lives. Husband and wife, things are not right like it ought to be before a holy God. And yet, we want revival. We want revival to come to our church. We want to see sinners saved and lives changed. And then we want to have a big mission ministry. Unless we're willing to come clean, take our mask off and come clean with Him and with ourselves, it'll never happen. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Would you stand? Say, "Come and just play something from the instrument tonight." I don't know what your regular routine is, but I'm going to ask you to do something tonight. God has been speaking to your heart about something that maybe you just need to do some business with Him.